Welcome back to the Geek Show Help Desk, everybody.
What's happening?
Look at this.
I'm so excited.
I know. I don't know why Lando's so excited, but what here we are.
On? You're a natural, Owen.
I'm up in the top left corner today.
I never thought this day would come.
Look at me, riding with no handlebars. I can ride a bike or a show.
Riding my bike with no handlebars.
Look at me up here. As I laud over you, this is the Geek Show Help Desk. Talk about tech, gadgets, things, anything, space stuff, science-y stuff.
Yeah, science I got some adjacent. Of those.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's get into it. Let's introduce our panels here.
Nailed it.
Let's start out. Oh, I get to choose. This is great.
You get to choose the order.
I'm going with my favorite first. Jaren.
Ah, yes.
Wow.
Owen, you are
your favorite.
A man among men, I tell you. I'm Jaren. You can find me on Twitter at Jaren and on Geek Show Arcade as well.
Right above him, we got Lando.
You know, I had a lot of energy until that very moment when you're like, Jaren's my favorite.
Womp. Womp.
Now my energy's all gone.
It's all sucked out. I'm so sorry.
I'm Lando. I thought I was the favorite, but apparently not.
Why would you think that?
I don't know. I just thought that. That was an impression I had.
And taking a back seat today.
I'm in the back, baby. Rowan's riding in the front. Check me out on the other Geek Show podcasts or at Quad T Tony on X. But he's in the driver's seat today. Like I said, it's Owen.
Hey, that's me. Follow me here, mostly. I feel like I'm driving a stolen car, so it's going to be a good show.
I handed you the keys. It's okay.
Yeah, it's more like a test drive of some stranger that you met on like KSL
Craigslist.
Cars.
Yeah,
Craigslist. You know, so
manual transmission. Yeah. You're just not quite sure how to do it.
And like they didn't want to let you take it, so they're in the back seat. You know.
Can I test drive it? Sure. I get a ride with you, though.
Yeah. So that's how it goes. What do we got? We got any emails today? Are we going to jump right in?
Yes, we have some email.
All right.
Got an email from Benjamin. He says, last podcast you mentioned Elegoo. Besides filament, they have a line of 3D resin printers. What the panel's take on resin printing? From my own experience, resin is a bit more involved, needing to cure in ultraviolet and clean with chemicals, but the printing detail can be amazing. Any thoughts on the difference in print quality from filament versus resin? And he sent a picture of a resin printed item that he printed. He says it's about the size of a 12 ounce soda can, but I don't have experience myself, but everything that I've seen from resin printing, it's amazing the kind of detail, like the resolution.
Are these the ones
crazy
that use UV light? Yes. Like you like dip them and then they come out and they look really like super satisfying.
Yeah. So resin print is unmatched on resolution and like fine detail. Filament printers definitely are a lot better than they used to be, but they still, when you have a dialed in high quality resin printer, you can print stuff that looks like it came out of a factory, like a toy factory. Like, it's amazing. Nice. I have a buddy that's way into it, Lee George Cade, on Geek Show Live on Saturdays, and he's way into it. And he showed me some of his prints the other day, actually, that they just looked phenomenal. But
do you lose versatility though in print material, right? Like PLA versus,
you only have resin you can print with, whereas with filament printers, you have many different kinds of filaments you can print with, different materials, and the curing process and stuff that he talked about. You don't have to worry about any of that with the filament printer. It's a lot less hassle. Also, you're supposed to use like filtered hoods and stuff with resin to sure that the vapors, you know, you breathe them in too much and they're not good for you. So it's got its trade-offs, but I'm lazy and I like convenience, so I'm filament all the way.
Right on.
So you need a hood.
Yeah, but not like this hood that I'm already wearing. That won't work.
Okay.
You need a chemical hood.
Sith hood will not do it for you. It has to be like a chemical filtration.
Can't you have much bigger prints though with filament as well?
That's another one of the trade-offs. Is the resin printers are usually smaller print volumes. There are some pretty big ones though.
Neat.
Sounds cool. Got another email from Uncle Squinky. he says, guys, so I was trying to set up a playlist on my iPhone. I wanted to simply transfer playlists off my iPod, but for some reason that seems to be a bridge too far. This is the thing that drove me nuts about iPods back in the day. Like, you had to do it exactly the way Apple wanted you to. Or else
it was so
using iTunes, right?
Yeah.
Like, you had to use iTunes. Yeah.
And it was a fine experience on Apple, but if you're on Windows, forget about it.
Yeah. Yep. Going on, back to my issue, when I plug my iPhone into my PC and fire up iTunes, my music library in iTunes on the iPhone is empty. When I look at the graph that breaks down memory usage, the audio file part shows 10,000 songs. How can I get iTunes on my PC to show those? Thanks.
Well, I did some experimenting.
I have all kinds of questions.
Squeaky called me on this one to give me a rundown of what he was getting at, because he felt like his email was a little short as far as trying to explain it. And, first I asked him, you still plug your iPhone into your computer?
That's exactly my question.
Number one.
And he's like,
He's somebody who has songs and he wants to keep those.
Are they like MP3 files? Gotta or they be. Purchased stuff
or
from
M4A.
iTunes?
Or M4As, yeah, probably.
It's old Napster library, right?
It's stuff that he has ripped for years and years and years, and they just move from one phone to the next when he upgrades in the transfer process. So they just continually move on to whatever phone he's on now.
Does iPhone still support iTunes?
Yeah, that's why I plugged it in and gave it a shot, and mine does the same thing. I have like, what did it say, 1,200 music files, and I couldn't see them in there either. So,
are you using the old iTunes or the new Windows 11 apps that Apple made?
I was on the app, yeah.
Hmm.
So,
which iTunes or the new ones?
The new one from Windows, like in the Windows Store.
iTunes is also in the Windows Store.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I was using.
What
are you talking about?
iTunes is the legacy app, which is old. Since then, Apple has come out with Apple Music, with Phone Connector, whatever it's called.
No, Apple Music
their is brand
different.
New apps.
That's for their subscription. This isn't
right,
anything
but
to
but
do
there's
with
also
the
a separate app for there's, plugging in your phone.
Are you saying there's no iTunes app anymore?
There
no,
is.
It's still there.
It's old. They haven't decommissioned it yet, but there's a new version out there which isn't
called
iTunes.
iMusic or Apple
Music. No. I'll look up what it's actually called.
Yeah, maybe try that if Jaren hasn't fabricated this out of his own imagination.
Oh my gosh, I hate you.
He's gonna Google it just to spite you. Here it comes. Yeah.
I'm in the Microsoft Store. I don't see.
It's called Apple Devices. That's what it's called.
Oh, okay. I'll give that a shot. But yeah, iTunes.
It's rated 2.4 stars.
Ooh, that's not promising.
I mean, it's the Microsoft Store. It's the Windows Store, so you know you're above most.
to steal a phrase and change it slightly from Steve Jobs himself, iTunes is a bag of hurt.
Yeah.
No, I believe you said it was a cup of water in a desert. When it first debuted on Windows. Can you believe
that?
Oh
no. See, I was did he really?
He did. Yes.
Oh my gosh, it was terrible and it continues to be not great.
It's never been good.
Yeah. So, but no, he was referring to Blu-ray in that quote. Blu-ray is a bag of hurt when everyone was like, "Why doesn't Apple iMacs have Blu-ray players, et cetera, et cetera?"
So, we didn't want to work on that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so to clarify, iTunes is still available, but that's deprecated. There's now Apple Music, Apple TV, and Apple Devices, and iCloud. Four different apps that used to be in one.
Yeah,
which are
Apple Devices
new.
Says manage Apple devices from your Windows PC using the Apple Devices app.
Well, give it a shot there, Squint.
I think we solved this one, guys. Yeah. Good job.
check mark on that box.
Close the ticket.
Don't assume that works perfectly.
Resolved.
We're a real help desk over here. Wow. Closing tickets before we even verify that it's fixed.
Yep.
Why verify tickets? P and end user.
Meh.
Yeah. Just resolve it.
Did we just end the show already?
No.
It's over? Oh. That's it.
Okay. No.
That was it.
Most efficient show ever. Thanks, Owen.
Yep. Well, you know.
Great job.
Is that it for emails?
Nope. One more from Snake Ripley. He says, "Hello, Tech Gents, and Lando Calrissian's stepbrother, Lambo Calrissian."
I hate that so much.
Stepbrother.
His pigmentally challenged stepbrother, Lambo Calrissian.
I get it. It's a good bit. I do not like it.
Lando's stunt actor, Lambo.
Anyway, he says, I have a 5-month-old, Wolf Benicio. That's a cool name.
That is a cool name.
And we have bought him all sorts of cool gizmos and gadgets. There are two that we use the most, though. The Snoo bassinet and the Owlet sock and camera. The Snoo app allows us to increase the movement and white noise of the bassinet to keep him asleep if he starts fussing. And the Owlet sock and camera let us monitor his breathing and heart rate and see him through the camera. We do this through our iPhones and iPads, but we would also like to use them through our Macs and PCs. Can I download an iPhone or Android emulator for the Mac and PC? I installed BlueStacks, but it does not support either of the apps. Please, tech gents, and let Lando Calrissian's stepbrother, Lando Calrissian, you're my only hope, Snake Ripley.
So first of all, the Owlet stuff is awesome. It's really good. In fact, their customer service is really good, too. When my children were younger, my second one, I want to say, we were part of their test program for some of their new products. So I would say, I mean, my first thought is to try to download the iPad app to your Mac. If that doesn't work, reach out to support.
Yeah, so if you have an M series chip for your Mac, you can download iPad apps, assuming the developer checks the box and lets you.
Right.
They may not, though. There's many popular apps that they won't let you download through the Mac OS store. If you don't have a M1 chip or M series chip, I mean, yes, you can spin up a iOS emulator.
You have to have a dev account, though, don't you?
Yeah, but dev accounts are free as long as you're not publishing anything.
And they're clunky.
And yeah, so you have to install Xcode and go through all this stuff. It would be a pain, but I bet you can make it work. Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know if you can download other people's apps in the emulator though.
Yeah, they don't let you. Like that's what I. So you guys remember the Pokemon Go days, right?
Yeah.
That's how I played Pokemon Go.
Oh, that's right. You spoofed locations like crazy.
I spoofed, yeah. And I used BlueStacks, which he mentions in his email. And let me just tell you, that thing runs hot, like super resource intensive. But yeah, what they do is they'll use a version. BlueStacks lets you choose what phone you want to emulate, but they use a version that when you try and go to the App Store and download something, it'll say, no, yeah, this OS isn't compatible with these apps. You know, if you're gone to like... you guys aren't all Apple users, but the Android store will check your version of Android and be like, sorry, this app isn't designed for your phone. It won't even return results when you search
annoying.
For stuff. It's super annoying. It won't return results if you have the wrong version. And if you do have it and you like try and sideload it by just getting the APK, it'll say, oh, this isn't designed for this version of Android. So that's what they do in BlueStacks and emulators like that, is they put in the version of iOS that's like not compatible hardware or something.
Another thing you can try is Windows subsystem for Android, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. Microsoft is going to deprecate it next year, but for now you can still use it.
Well,
it connects to the Amazon App Store, so I don't know if Owlet is available in the Amazon App Store or not. If it is, then that would be an easy way to get it working on Windows.
Yeah.
And to be fair, Microsoft likes to leave their quote-unquote deprecated stuff around forever.
Right.
So I bet you, they still have 3 or 4 years out of that.
And it's still just APKs. So you can still try and maybe sideload that.
You should also check
finding...
Also check and see if there's a web app available for either of these services where you can just go to their website and log in and see your stuff that's registered to you and interact with it there.
I thought I remembered a story of the Owlet mic and camera getting taken over. Maybe I was Wise.
Owlet had something like that going on, too.
It was definitely Owlet, Wise at least one time.
Owlet hacked.
I can't find Owlet in the Amazon App Store.
Yeah, so there's some stories out there where people got into the Owlet and they were basically talking to the baby in the crib. Yeah. It's super creepy.
You might be able to find the APK out there somewhere and just install it like that, but nothing officially supported, unfortunately.
Yeah, Blink, I don't know if Blink has done this, has changed, but Blink does the same thing. Blink security cameras from Amazon. I have some of those, and they only have a mobile app, and that's dumb because I don't want to. When I sit at my desk and I want to check it, I don't want to pick up my phone.
Yeah, so first world problems.
Yeah, for sure.
A little bit more from Snake Ripley. I just remembered, I love the change-up of hosts and shout-out readers. In addition to letting us know who's hosting next, can you also let us know who will be reading the shout-outs? It's going to be so fun knowing.
Maybe we should rotate hosts on a regular basis. Maybe not every time, but make it a more constant kind of a thing, depending on how much you guys are into it.
What I plan to do is bomb this show and so that you'll never pick on me again.
Sorry, Owen, you're failing miserably. And now that I know your plan, it doesn't matter anyway.
It does. It still does.
Well, guess what, Owen? Practice makes perfect.
Oh, Landon, gross. Well, with that, let's jump into some stories. See what's going on out here. Since I'm running the show, I get to choose. Let me check for any crypto. None. Zero.
Yeah, way sorry, man. Nothing.
Feel like really let me down on
Isn't
that
Isn't there
one,
something
guys.
Going on with crypto and some like halving thing happening soon? Like,
don't get me started.
Lando, don't feed him.
Are you
as the host?
Him?
I'm not allowed to take that bait.
Really? But, I think you totally are.
I want to talk about this new GPU from NVIDIA. I think I saw a short clip on this on TikTok, and it looks pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's the Blackwell B200 GPU. They're calling it the world's most powerful. Yeah, it does. World's most powerful chip for AI. And they were already in the lead for AI chips.
By a large margin.
Yeah, yeah.
They decided to continue sprinting.
They're saying that the B200 GPU offers up to 20 petaflops of FP4 horsepower from its 208 billion transistors. And that combines two GPUs and a single Grace CPU and can offer 30 times the performance for large language model inference workloads while being a lot more efficient.
That's a lot of petaflops.
It reduces cost and energy consumption by up to 25x. So these will pay for themselves pretty quickly if they're reducing energy by 25x. That's nice.
That's significant. And that's over the current winner of the H100. 25x better than what's out there that's the best right now.
Right.
So
they say training a 1.8 trillion parameter model would have previously taken 8,000 Hopper GPUs and 15 megawatts of power. Now he's saying that 2,000 Blackwell GPUs can do it while consuming just 4 megawatts. That is nuts.
That is crazy.
Awesome.
It's like 75% improvement, right? Like if we look at those numbers, right?
No, that's like a 4x improvement.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Good mathing, Owen.
Well, like 75% less usage.
Yeah, you went another direction. Yeah.
Oh, right, and this has a next-gen NVLink, so maybe we can get SLI back, Tony, in games.
No, we're not. No way. Not a chance.
Dude, if IR can come back in the flipper, then SLI.
Here's the thing. It doesn't matter if NVIDIA puts SLI back on the menu. The game developers won't program for it. So
SLI is coming back. He's all the fastest. It was quite the ride.
You know it. I know it.
You know Everyone it. I know it. Everybody knows it was the best.
This just means that AI is going to get scarier a whole lot faster.
Oh,
did you guys
and more widespread?
Did you guys watch that TikTok video I sent with the robot?
That's what I was saying. This is the
I watch
the next...
all your TikToks.
You,
no, you
don't. It was a video of a robot they gave AI to, and the guy just literally talks to it and says, hey, can you do these things? And it's like, sure. It just does the things. And it's like, yep, robot
which is,
uprising.
Which is crazy
soon.
With a 25, when a 25X performance increase, I was listening to a podcast. I think it was Joe Rogan.
No, hang on.
I can't remember.
First of all, gross. Second of all,
can confirm.
What? Really?
Rogan?
It was a TikTok clip, but he was talking about Jensen Huang. And how 10 years ago he made a bet on this AI and it was crazy. Everybody's I don't know, guys.
This
like,
is where
why don't
put
you
your
just
eggs?
Stay in, why don't you just stay in your lane with the with the old gaming GPUs? And now like AMD and Intel, they're years away. Like decades away.
Killing
from
it
NVIDIA.
in every regard.
So this is a 25x increase in power. What do you call it? using efficiency? Less power. Efficiency, yes.
Yeah.
It's actually like the actual performance is what they say. It was something like a 30 or 40X improvement
performance
versus previous performance.
So it uses 25% or 25X less resources, and it performs at 40%.
30 times. 40, not 40 not percent. Times. Yeah, 30 times.
So better. Three orders of magnitude.
That's
so
a lot.
It's, so it's actually how it's much? Absolutely.
How much they cost?
Oh, it's like $10,000 or $20,000 a card. I mean,
I want one, so we can put one in it. Can we run? Can we run games off that?
Oh, I doubt it. This is probably just got all their AI tensor cores and machine learning cores and everything.
I'll keep mining and try and get me one.
There you go. Keep working towards
Bitcoin's
that.
Have you guys? Okay, just a short side. Bitcoin is up. Have you seen it?
I have.
It's been crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I know Tony's watching always a little bit because he has to.
I have to punish myself continually.
You have to punish
already
yourself.
Already being punished.
Yeah. So, I still keep. I have most of my crypto is gone. I will say that. It's a sad day.
Hey, me too.
But yours was not on purpose. But I do keep one.
Whoa, rub salt in that wound.
He's right.
I do keep 0.1 Bitcoin.
That's oh, there it. You go.
1/10.
Nice.
That's it. I stare at it.
Yeah, just wait. Just wait. Someday it'll be worth $10 million, right? That's the hope.
Or, pennies.
Whatever.
You know, big swings, big misses. It just depends.
It'll go down again. It'll
big
go back
swing,
up.
Big hits.
Yep. The other crazy thing about this whole architecture is they're really putting NVIDIA is really putting to use the purchase of that networking technology company they bought a while back. I can't remember their name now off the top of my head, but they're leveraging this super, super, super fast networking between each rack and each GPU like unit that slides into the U, to the point where, according to what he said on the stage, it can act as one giant GPU.
You know, whoa.
500 GPUs working in tandem with
no
a latency.
Way.
Yeah, a latency that's low that it come acts on. As one GPU.
Are you feeling what I'm feeling, Westworld? Baby.
Yeah, exactly.
One brain. Or what's that other show? Eagle Eye?
Here's what it says right here. The next gen NVLink switch lets 576 GPUs talk to each other with 1.8 terabytes per second of bidirectional bandwidth.
Wow.
It's absolutely
crazy. That's bidirectional, so it's same time.
Yeah.
Same time talking.
Yeah. And one of the things that makes Blackwell so amazing too is it's actually two GPUs basically soldered together. That's one of the things they were able to do to have such high transistor counts and things like that.
I can solder GPUs together. Come on.
They slap them together.
I mean, I have reduced it to its absolute, most basic definition there, but the bandwidth between the two GPUs is fast enough and latency is low enough to the point where, once again, it appears to the software as one GPU.
Do you think Jensen was just like sitting at a table eating dinner with two GPUs, and then just a light bulb goes off above his head? Huh?
Yeah, he was just
stick
like,
these together.
He's like, one is good and two is better. If I make a GPU sandwich,
two into one, I'm thinking if they weren't already working on it when they saw AMD start doing the chiplet design stuff, I'll bet they already were. But if they weren't, they probably looked at it and said, "We can do that better." And basically, that's what this is. You know, this makes Infinity Fabric look like data transfer via donkey. You know,
yeah, it's USB 1.0.
Donkey fabric.
Have you guys ever had donkey to go fabric. Back to USB 1.0? Have you ever tried that before?
A while back, and it was awful.
It's horrible.
You don't even realize what you have. Like, I got into computers past the age of 1.0. Like they didn't have USB drives then, but I've had to work on an old computer, and it's just, you don't know what you're having. When you're like, it's only 30 megs, I'll just put this on a USB drive. And you're like, 1 hour later for 30 megs. Oof. All right. I want to talk about the Franken sheep because I love this story.
Here's some science adjacent stuff
that we
mentioned but don't get to very often. So there's a dude in Montana who he's an 80-year-old man, owns and operates a 215-acre, it's called alternative livestock, in quotes.
What are we talking about?
You'll just buckle up. It's gonna be it's gonna be quite the ride here.
Alternative livestock?
Yep.
Department of Justice had enough.
He started this operation in 2013, according to research and the press release from the U.S. Department of Justice. And what they're getting him for is creating hybrid mountain sheep, mountain goats, and large mammals from DNA that was shipped across the world and cloned to start breeding these giant, you know, I use the term giant. It's huge, but it's not like an
for
actual
game,
giant.
Yeah, for like gaming for, purposes.
For big game hunting on his 215-acre private ranch, for like rich people come in and say, you know, I want to shoot a giant sheep, a giant mountain goat or whatever. So the largest sheep in the world is the Marco Polo sheep. It's from Kyrgyzstan. And they took DNA from these Kyrgyzstans and he paid it to be cloned and then started
Can't really get these in Montana.
These Kyrgyzstan sheep, Marco Polo sheep weigh over 300 pounds and have horns that are 5 feet wide.
That's a big
sheep. It's crazy. So yeah, he smuggled his sheep parts into the U.S., sent them to an unnamed lab, which created 165.
In which country?
Doesn't say. 165 cloned embryos, and then he implanted the embryos into ewes on his ranch,
which resulting basically in a single split them apart.
Yeah, resulting in a single pure genetic male Marco Polo. So if you implant the embryo, it doesn't take on the characteristics of
the surrogate. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So these are basically pure
They're clones.
Marco Polo, yep, clones of the sheep parts that he had shipped in illegally.
Wow.
And then he takes these clones and used their semen to artificially impregnate female sheep, creating these hybrid animals.
What?
Yeah.
Huh. Wait. So he successfully cloned the sheep?
No. He paid an unnamed lab to successfully clone the sheep.
And then he bred the sheep to get the male, to get the
starter pack.
Yeah, exactly.
He had to create a starter pack. Yeah. So he paid for his starter pack. And then, I mean, can you just imagine somebody who's, I mean, I don't know how they busted him. Does it say how they busted him?
So it says here, I don't know if it talks about that specifically, but it further says in the article, the goal, as the DOJ explains it, was to create these massive new sheep that could then be used for sports hunting on his large ranch. Schubert also forged veterinarian inspection certificates to transport the new hybrid sheep under false pretenses, and even sold some of the semen to other breeders in the U.S. So there are now other hybrid sheep around in the U.S. at, you know, some other farms that he sold these to.
Hope they don't get a taste for tamaco.
Yeah, right? These are like chadoodle. Like, you know, like a chihuahua and a doodle? Like a chadoodle. Like, can you imagine what the male, like what the baby does to a normal sheep? Like, it's got to be a huge baby.
I would think so, yeah.
Maybe the mother doesn't survive. I don't know.
Boy, like, this guy is God to these sheep.
And he's playing the long game, 2013, right? It's 11 years?
Yeah, he's been doing this for 15 years. So it says Schubert sent 15 artificially inseminated sheep to Minnesota in 2018 and sold 37 straws of Montana Mountains King semen. I guess that's measured in straws, to someone in Texas, according to an indictment filed last month. He also offered to sell an offspring of the Montana Mountain King, and that's what he's named these, to someone in Texas for $10,000. So yeah, basically, it doesn't have too much info here on how they busted him, but I'm guessing just someone that he was working with sold him out, or said something they shouldn't have to someone, and there you go. You know, the more
this
people that have
wildest
the secret
story of 2024.
It's so
straight
crazy.
Straight out of Yellowstone. I hope this. I hope this storyline makes it into the show Yellowstone, in up there
so,
in Montana.
Agreed.
Schubert conspired with at least five other people who are not named in the indictment, and Schubert faces up to 5 years in prison and a fine of up to a quarter million dollars, scheduled to be sentenced in July. So, I mean, he's 80 years old already.
Yeah,
5 years could
them.
Be a life.
Doesn't
a life
have much
sentence.
Life left anyway.
You know, it's but you
I mean,
know, that's,
what are they? What are they upset about? Just that he transported them illegally? I mean, the cloning. Like,
I'm sure
just
all
like,
of
hey,
that.
you didn't pay us for this new breed of goat.
I'm sure there's all of that. The smuggling of the goat. The
yeah,
goat parts,
that's true. It's on the endangered species list. That's probably where they really got so, him with the jail time.
So he's you know, really helping the species. He's.
He's not helping the species because he's making a new species out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I just saw that and I was like, we got to talk about that. That's wild. So there you go.
That is great.
Did not disappoint.
Did not disappoint. Now, I want our follow-up on the ice cream machines here because we've been following the story. Does this mention the Kartech guys or Kartach or whoever they were? Remember the guys that were making the repair device or repair?
No. This is not about that. This is a little bit different. So this is another saga, another chapter, another cliff note to the ice cream machines at McDonald's, right? So
just
right.
Let me get some ice cream, McDonald's. Come on.
Right.
All we want
this
is some ice cream.
A whole thing, right? Fixing these stupid ice cream machines is an issue, right? Because only the manufacturer can fix them.
It's a racket.
It's very costly and very stupid and just, I just want my dang ice cream, right?
Give me a cone.
Apparently, the U.S. Copyright Office is also pissed off about this.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to fix it. And so they are asking
the
to expand.
FTC is coming after them, right?
No, this is the U.S. Well, it says the U.S. Copyright Office on Thursday asked for commercial soft serve machines to be exempt from current laws, making them difficult to repair. So once they're exempt from the laws, anybody can fix them.
Okay.
That's what's stopping it, right? It's those, you know, there's no regulations in place, but I mean, there is, but now there won't be, and it'll be better. The bottom line here is the feds are getting involved to fix the ice cream machine problem.
I'm glad they're concentrating on the important stuff.
Yeah, this is what matters in our country right now. Make sure that McDonald's can make ice cream cones for me.
Absolutely.
So they got the U.S. copyright. They got the U.S. copyright trying to break that copyright saying, hey, and then they've got the DOJ and the FTC identified commercial soft serve machines as one of four device categories that would benefit from an easing of copyright laws. So
100%.
They got the backing here. And who would have thought that ice cream machines and tractors would be leading the way for right to repair in the country, you know?
Like, not things you think about too often.
John farmers and
well, because
people
not,
don't want their ice cream.
There's not giant corporations behind them lobbying.
Don't mess with America. We want our tractors. We want our ice cream. And you better let us
in
have
that,
it.
You know, in
as
that
long
order,
as the problem gets fixed, who cares how? Right?
That's our problem.
Ice cream, phones, who cares?
That's our problem as consumers is we just want the end product to work fine and we don't care what it takes to get there. And and that's why for decades we've had issues with like sweatshops and things in other countries to buy our cheap clothes.
Demand, right? Like that's dangerous. Don't get me started there. The company, this is because there's a follow-up with Kitch. KYCTH, remember those guys made a program to decode that and made it, and it was super great. And they have evidence now. The ongoing lawsuit is, I think Kitch actually finally folded. I don't know that they can keep up with the
probably ran out
fees,
of money.
But basically, they said they had this. Last I checked, they said they had the smoking gun, and there was an email where it was basically said from the parent company of McDonald's that, you know, send this out and tell them that this could be dangerous and that they won't have they could lose their franchise. So I think it got enough traction that got up to the right people. I mean, even people in the government want their ice cream, you know?
Everybody wants ice cream.
Everybody wants their soft serve. I guarantee you one of those senators was like, man, I just want my ice cream.
I'll tell you something. If you've ever gone on a cruise that has a soft serve machine, that is the busiest place on the boat, besides the casino. There is always a line at the soft serve machine.
All right. Well, did you did you guys watch the SpaceX launch for Starship?
I didn't yet.
I saw a replay of it.
I didn't watch it live. I miss it too, because it happened in the morning, and who's got time for that? But
nobody got time for that.
But the Starship 3, launch number 3, you know, we got 33 Raptor engines. They all fired successfully. They put some really high-res cameras on the rocket this time, and the shots coming off of that are amazing. To see the plume of the rocket, and then as it leaves the atmosphere, to have the smoke, you know, rocket goes up, all the smoke behind it, and then it leaves the atmosphere, and the air, the smoke just cuts off because there's no more oxygen to throw it, like, exist in. It did the hot stage release, and they tried to land the first stage. They were going to do a soft, what they called soft splashdown. So they were going to use the rockets, relight them, and come in soft and then splash down in the Gulf of Mexico. They weren't planning to catch it or anything. They were just going to let it drop into the ocean. But only one rocket relit, and that's a lot of mass. So it splashed down pretty hard, was unrecovered. And then the actual Starship, it's pretty cool how they got it up. It actually went up into the atmosphere, into low Earth orbit, but they calculated to leave it just below the point where it could leave, where it would stay in low Earth orbit, so that the atmospheric drag, because they wanted it to come back down. And so the atmospheric drag pulled it back down. It broke up over the Indian Ocean, but they got to test, transferring fuel from one tank to another, like live up there, because that one of the functions of Starship will be to refuel when it gets up there. They've tested blasting off the cargo doors so they could deliver payload, or opening the cargo doors so they could deliver payload. So a few things got checked off, just not everything they wanted with the soft landing and the reentry. They also got to test the reentry of the ship to see how it would work. It folds up its fins, I guess, as it comes down to try and save on drag. But there was no splashdown even for that ship. It just completely broke up in atmosphere and disintegrated.
I did see a post on Reddit that someone found washed up on a beach one of the hexagon tiles, heat-resistant tiles, from where one of the things went down, and it was whole, like it was a complete tile.
That's pretty cool.
And he's like, check it out, I found one. And I'm looking at the picture right now on the article, and it was one of those hexagon tiles you see for the heat shielding.
I wonder if he sold it, or if he's just gonna like hang it. I would hang that in my wall.
100% display that in my house.
Yeah, that's cool.
Unless it's carcinogenic. Then I would put it in a plexiglass box and display it in my house.
Right. Unless it got some sort of radiation coming off of it. Let's see. How are we doing on time? We need to do a lightning round.
We got time for a lightning round. And
we've done like three stories. We're 45 minutes in.
These have been good stories.
They've been good stories, but you're...
Whoa. I sense some tension between you and Owen.
Oh, man.
I can't believe you're critiquing him like this. I think Owen's doing the best job.
Yeah. Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
I want to say the best job. See? He's doing pretty good for his first time.
Yeah, I am. Thanks, Jaren.
Says the guy who's also gone one time.
Yeah. Well, all right, let's do a lightning round. Tony, you got one? We'll start at the top.
I do. This is, oh man, let's see. We'll do that one next time. This one's funny. I got to talk about, I brought weird stories today. So in Nebraska, you know, those rewards programs every store has, right? You know, shop with us and we'll give you points towards coupons or whatever BS. And yeah, I participate in all of them because I like free stuff as much as the next guy. But this woman in Nebraska used a rewards card loophole for 7,000 gallons of free gas.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Respect.
Not like, oh my gosh, I'm like, how did I not do this?
Here's the problem. She took out 7,000 gallons of gas in 6 months. And that's, nobody uses that much gas in 6 months. It isn't like a long haul trucker.
Where was she storing it?
Yeah, or a prepper. She's a doomsday prepper.
Here's what happened.
Because gas doesn't sit for too long, you know?
So once she figured out how to do this trick, she started pumping gas for other people at like 20% off of the Lyft's price.
Yeah. Okay.
They would pay her and she would fill their car up with gas.
That's brilliant. I do this with my daughter's Jimmy John's card.
Yeah, use her, get her free brownies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is she a 9 out of 10 now?
Yeah, she works She's there. Gone so. Up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So basically, she did this 510 times.
And they were like, something's wrong here.
Yeah, police say they caught her in the act when they checked surveillance footage and saw her pumping gas into her car several times.
Is it illegal or is it just a breach of terms and they could just take her points?
I don't. How let me is see it what they say. It. Let's see.
She wasn't there face... like an exploit that she kind of.
That's exactly
accidentally
what it was.
Found.
Oh, so she's getting charged for theft, is basically what it is, and has a $7,500 bond to walk around while she waits for her trials. But the exploit was she found a way to swipe the card in a certain pattern.
I saw this. This is crazy.
And it unlocked. Basically, it unlocked like test mode.
Oh, that's how she. That's how she was getting the cheaper price.
It wasn't the cheaper price. It was just free. It would just pump the gas, you know.
Yes, oh. Free mode today.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
Talking about this, I feel like I've heard this somewhere. Did we talk about this last week?
No.
Oh, this sounds like the Contra code for gas.
It basically was.
Oh.
Yeah. And the thing is anyone could have done it. It wasn't just her card, right? They had.
Was she just drunk one time? And just
Here's what it was. All you had to do was swipe it twice real fast.
That's the code. Seems like an oversight. We left that in on accident.
Swipe it twice, and then it opens the pump up to pump for free.
That reminds me of like when NVIDIA released the patch to unblock the miner cards.
Yeah,
remember
accidentally the LHR cards.
the LHR cards, and they gave the firmware away for free.
So there you go. It would switch it into demo mode, which wouldn't actually charge you for the gas. So I just saw that. And I thought that where this lady messed up is she started trying to sell the gas. If she'd have just kept her mouth shut,
she could have had free
and
gas
just had free
forever.
Gas for however long.
Yeah.
But instead, she tried to make a buck, and that's how she got busted.
Oh, got greedy. Crazy. Flew too close to the sun.
Yeah. The old pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. You know,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got, Jaren, for a lightning round?
I think I'll shift my Apple stuff to Lando. It looks like he has that too. Water gun. When's the last time you've ever been excited about a water gun? Like the Super Soaker days, right?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
There's really been no innovation in the whole water gun.
I've seen those ones on TikTok that shoot like machine guns.
There's this one by Spyra that's been out for like 6 years. It's $180. It's a USB-C water blaster. It shoots out a whole shot glass volume of water, like extremely far, but it's $180. So
expensive.
That's a lot of money to pay to shoot something 49 feet, right? They have come out with a much, much cheaper version, the Spyra Go. It's $54. It's not as powerful as the Spyra 3, the original, but it's a whole lot cheaper. You can it doesn't shoot nearly as much water, so it shoots 6 milliliters of water rather than 30. But you get to shoot twice as fast as the original, and you have up to 75 shots rather than 25.
Oh, this looks like my next Thrifty 50.
Right. It's like impulse buy territory.
Seriously.
And I'm just going to buy it and ask my kids to come outside and
just
have
own
fun.
Them.
Yes. They won't even know what hit them. Yes. So this looks like a really fun time. It's battery powered. So You don't have to pump like the old Super Soaker days.
The video of this guy, you just blast it in the face.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm gonna
so
do
you
it.
Just so like, these ones, you just stick the end of the gun in the water, right, and it recharges.
No, on right these out ones. Of
the pool. No, no.
On these ones, there's a hole that you can fill it with, like a hose or a water.
The original Spyro is just it pulls the water.
It
in.
It would pump its water in. Yeah.
Yeah. 9 pounds of full. Oh, that's the Spyro 3.
Yeah, the new one's only 3 pounds. Lighter.
Yeah.
Much cheaper. Overall, a better product. It even lasts, the battery lasts longer, 120 minutes versus 70 minutes.
It's so, rechargeable battery?
Yeah. Oh, USB-C charging.
Nice. Yeah. All right. That looks cool.
Dig it.
That looks neat. I want one. That's right. $54. That's right in the range for me to just be like, yeah, I got one. So... All right, Lando, what do you got? Do you have a light round?
Real quick, got some interesting news here from Apple. They released a research paper titled MM1 Methods, Analysis, and Insights for Multimodal LLM Pre-Training. So Apple's doing a bunch of work on AI, large language models, AI, right? Stuff I'm talking about, ChatGPT and stuff like that, forever. However, they're doing some interesting stuff here. They're doing exceptional in-context learning abilities, particularly the largest 30 billion parameter configuration of the model. And it goes into images and text, and it's multimodal, right? And apparently it's pretty good based on the research paper. So there's been a lot of speculation around, like, maybe this is what's going to finally make Siri good.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Good.
But, it doesn't have the data, right?
No, shut up, Siri. No one cares. Go away.
Yeah. See? Case in point.
Nailed it.
More news from the same week. Apple's also in talks with Google to use Google Gemini AI.
This is very surprising. Very surprising to me.
Does this feel like a deal with the devil? Like,
they haven't partnered with Google in forever, right?
That makes me think they
have the whole Google search, of course. But
But that makes me think that they feel like they're way, way, way behind. And so they're just like, okay, we're just going to have to pay for
throw money at it, right?
We got to buy it. We can't build
buy
it ourselves.
The technology.
Yep.
They're doing the work, but they feel like they're too far away to do anything with their work.
Look what we did. All right, my lightning round's pretty quick. Read the fine print on automakers with their data collection. You know how you can now have everything, how fast you're going, how you brake, how fast you accelerate, your turn velocity, things like that, how hot you come into a turn. Some automakers have been accused of selling that or sharing that data with insurance company, with insurance companies. This guy had a Chevy Bolt and he's never been responsible for an accident. And in 2022, the cost of his car insurance jumped by 21%.
Jeez.
Found out that...
Is that why my insurance always goes up?
So he found out that
freak.
So there's a thing called the LexisNexis report, where all data basically comes to. And it's a global data broker, and they've been acquiring, buying, purchasing, stealing, I don't know exactly how, information from anywhere they can. Like, they're just data brokers. And insurance companies have been purchasing that for people, and he, Mr. Dahl, he, upon request, LexisNexis sent him his consumer disclosure report, 250 pages of this. And,
so what this is,
that's
is
your,
according
to your, this is like, your digital you.
Yeah, according to their data, he might not be responsible for any accidents, but he drives in a manner that will probably land him in accidents anytime in the near future.
Apparently not, right? Like, not all drivers are created equal. That's what I tell my wife when she's like, you drive so aggressively sometimes. I'm like, yeah, but I've never really been in an accident, so...
Is it a famous last word?
I don't know how I feel about this because the insurance industry is struggling right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, for years you've been able to buy the little thing you plug into your OBD2 sensor and you can opt into this. And I think insurance companies thought, oh, everybody's going to want to do this. And this way we can get the people that are risky and charge them more. and the people that are not risky charge them the regular amount, not less, but the regular amount.
A lot of the times, the people that are risky, went for it. They know they're risky. And so they're like, I know I drive aggressively. Why would I want to put one of these tattletale machines in my car?
And sometimes you have to drive, and sometimes you drive aggressively, and they don't tell you how those points are accrued all the time. Like, if maybe somebody cuts diarrhea. You off and you slam on your brakes, like, that can be negative points against you for heavy braking, but it was somebody else's fault, right? Like, they don't have, anyway. And so it's a bit skewed. And so because they didn't, because the population didn't opt into it, insurance companies are just paying for it. So
yeah, it should not be like that for sure.
Read the fine print when you get the cars that monitor your data. I'm not sure if you can opt out on those specifically to not be sold, but there usually is some sort of EULA when you sign up and create an account or whatever, and just watch out for that. So
otherwise, bad show.
21% more when insurance is already crazy.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, that's it. I don't have any more stories. That's our lightning round. But before we go, we want to give a big shout out to our Patreon backers. If you are a Patreon subscriber for us and you donate $6 or more, you get a shout out here on the show, which I believe Jaron is going to read for us, right?
I have it, yes.
All right.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you so much. David Roshinsky, Connor Keesaw, and Wolfball Tony. They consistently go above and beyond. Thank you. Thanks to Jason Eatman, Que Onda Carnal. Is a hot dog a sandwich? I'm going to say yes.
No, hot dog's a taco.
No.
The sandwich. Way the bun's connected on the bottom like a tortilla. No.
Tacos aren't that thick.
Tacos require tortillas, not bread.
Disagree.
Hmm.
Maybe some other Southern American delicacy that uses thicker bread.
Gordita?
Not a taco.
Is a hot gordita? Dog a gordita?
You're getting me going. Gonna have to go to Taco Bell.
What is it? Is it a pupusa? No, it's a...
Yeah, pupusa's flat.
Arepa. Arepa. It might be an arepa.
I don't know what those are. They sound good, though.
Andy Bird?
Just by the name.
Be the 8-year-old, Tony the Home Theater Geek, Travis Johnson by Geek Show Arcade Help Desk stickers at Pyman Graphics on Etsy. All proceeds go to Lee George Cade's medical bills. Jeremy, No Name, No Color, Kesslow, Eric Steinman, Eric Cruz, ONS Tech Cred plus 25.5. Yeah, it's because you hosted today.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Nelson, Harry Patch, Adam, Aaron Faulkner, Stuart Lloyd. History is there for you to learn from or repeat. Your choice, Ryan M. and Adam Hecht. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, guys. Well, that's the end here. We're going to have Lando. I think it's time. Take us out.
Yeah. When you need help, submit a support ticket, then instantly throw your laptop across the room and never respond. Be an end user.